Talk Radio.
I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk
Blog
Radio.
Talk Radio.
I don't know, dude.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Already on the air, but apparently I was wrong. I was mistaken. But it's me, Mr. FSG, Mr. Victor Gardner, the place to be, holding it down on the MIC. With me today is the one and only ATM, JT, ATM Money, Taylor. You know, he says always taking money. I say it's for automatic teller machine. But it is what it is. What's happening, family?
Nothing much, my man. Nothing much. I enjoyed my draft. And like you had said off air, you were sadly mistaken. My team is definitely going to dominate yours without a doubt.
Are you, Jerry? Stop smoking.
I'm looking at your team right now.
I'm looking at your team.
I'm looking at your team right now.
Your team blew.
I wish we had an independent opinion here.
We will.
Okay.
Once Black and my cousin Mike get on the line, we're going to have independent.
Let me put it this way. I don't know how much Mikel knows, and I'm not saying he doesn't, about fantasy football and the strength of one team versus the other. But my team is clearly better than yours. It's clearly better than yours. Clearly.
Jerry, are you serious?
Clearly better than yours.
Jerry.
Clearly.
No, it is not, Jerry. No, it is not. Not by a long shot.
Okay.
Not by a long shot.
We will see.
I tell you what, your receivers are better than mine,
mm-hmm.
but I have you deep in every other category.
No, you don't.
I mean, every category except for receiver.
No, you don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. We're going to discuss today a great many things. One is our fantasy draft we just did in a group called Guys with Big Shoes, which is commissioned by one of our friend. Well, he's a buddy of mine, and he plays in a lot of our leagues, Duke. And we're going to compare our teams to each other's. And I want your feedback on it, okay? We're also going to talk about RG3 versus Luck. How is this going to work out? I mean, it's crazy how this is the third game of the preseason, and this is typically where you see your starters play up to three quarters. So essentially, this is a real game, and we're going to see number one versus number two, first time ever, quarterback and two quarterbacks pick one and two and get to face each other in preseason or in the same season that they're drafted. So we're going to discuss that. Also, I want to talk about who's been a disappointment and who's been a surprise thus far in the preseason. I know Jerry has some thoughts on that. I also want to touch upon the John Jones UFC situation. If you didn't know, UFC 151 has been canceled because John Jones did not want to fight the replacement that was put in front of him because Dan Henderson tore knee ligament and had to pull out, and Dana White put someone else in his place. And honestly, the guy that Dana put in his place was better, in my opinion, than Dan Henderson, and a tougher fight. But John Jones decided he didn't want to take that fight on 8 days' notice, so he declined. And then the person that the UFC put up again for John Jones, that opponent, Lyoto Machida, declined the opportunity to fight for the title. So therefore, UFC 151 was canceled. I have my thoughts on that, and I think John Jones is receiving a lot of bad criticism for that, whereas it was not his decision to cancel the event. And we're going to talk about our live draft, of course, our live draft. We're waiting for one of our cohorts, either Black the Bookie or my cousin Mikhail Moore, to get on the phone line so we can debate that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to save that for later. Let's get into this preseason, NFL preseason. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I still have two tickets to give away for the Oakland Raiders game. It's happening here, well, where I'm at in Oakland, the Oakland area. Oakland plays the Detroit Lions today at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you are lucky enough to get a trivia question right, you can win those two tickets. Jerry, give them that trivia question.
Trivia question. Hold on a minute. Let me
something
pull it out here.
The one you gave the last couple of days, because nobody knows that.
Okay. Well, I mean, let me put it. That was a pretty easy one. Okay. This is even easier. This should be a no-brainer here. In the 2011 season, which team caught the most receiving touchdowns in one game?
Repeat that question again.
In the 2011 season, which team caught the most receiving touchdowns in one game? I got four choices. Four choices. San Diego Chargers, Green Bay Packers, New York Giants, New Orleans Saints. Now, that's easy. Easy.
Well, two of them. You can automatically eliminate two of them and look at the other two.
Yes.
That is kind of easy, ladies and gentlemen. It is kind of
yes.
easy. And it was last year, so it should be fresh on your mind. If you have the answer to that question or you want to join in on the conversation, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220, and we'll get you there. Or you go to the chat room on our page, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, and we'll go from there. And if you post it correctly in there, then we'll name your winner. You'll have to meet me at the Oakland Coliseum to pick up your tickets, okay? That's the only way we can provide these. Is if you come to the stadium and pick them up. So if you're in the Oakland, San Fran area, you are eligible. Or if you can get here quicker than most people can get down the street, then we'll do it that way. So we'll move on from there. Let's go down some disappointments and some surprises in this NFL preseason. No. I'm going to keep football with football. Let's go this way. The John Jones UFC thing, and I know you don't know that much about it, but I brought it up last night on No Chaser, and hopefully you looked it up a little bit. But I want to get your thoughts on this. I'm going to lay this out for folks that don't know. Here's what happened. And I see a caller on the line, so I want you to hold, caller, from the 707. Please hold. Here's what happened. John Jones, again, was set to fight Dan Henderson. It was supposed to be a very big fight. The UFC. Henderson returned to the UFC after being in Strikeforce and all this other stuff, and he's getting a title shot. He was training for it, tore his knee up, so he had to pull out of the fight. Dana White then decided, well, we're going to put Chael Sonnen in from 185, move him up to 205 to face John Jones for the title.
Vic,
yes.
Before you go any further, that call from the 707 could be in the California area. You may want to give them a chance to see if they can win the tickets.
Well, let's do that there. Well, let's go there, 707. Call from the 707, Open Fantasy Sports Topics. Please state your name.
John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Are you calling in reference to the trivia question?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's the deal. You get one shot. You got to get it right now. And if you get it right, you'll have two tickets to go see the Oakland Raiders face Detroit Lions today at the Oakland Coliseum. Are you prepared to answer?
Yes.
Okay.
All right,
before you answer, I'm going to read the question, give you the choices, and then wait for you to give us the answer. How's that?
That sounds good.
Okay. In the 2011 season, which team caught the most receiving touchdowns in one game? Choices are San Diego Chargers, Green Bay Packers, New York Giants, and the New Orleans Saints. I'm just looking for what team, not at how many.
I'll go Green Bay Packers.
Bing, 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 bing.
He's a winner.
Six. You are a winner.
All right.
All right. John.
All right.
All right, now listen up, John. Congratulations.
Okay.
I actually had 5 tickets to give away, but I gave away those 5 last night. I have 2 now. Here's what's going to happen, John. I'm going to take your number down. Is this a good number? Is this your cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take this phone number down, and I'm going to text you. Okay? I'm going to text you information. I am going to be at the front of the Oakland Coliseum on the side of the BART, where the BART is.
Okay?
Okay. I'm not sure what I'm going to be wearing, but I'm going to text you my number, things of that nature. And what's going to happen is we're seated in section 137, row 40. Are you familiar with Oakland Coliseum?
Yeah.
So you know those are pretty decent seats.
Okay.
We're in the corner of the end zone. I believe it's the entrance where the players come out of as well. These tickets are free. They are not to be sold or scalped or anything like that. So, you have somebody you're going to bring with you?
Is it for tonight?
Yes, it is. It's for tonight.
Shit, I got a draft tonight. I'm sorry. I heard the game tickets. I didn't know what the game was. I heard the question, but I didn't know what the date of the game was. So,
yeah,
I'm not gonna screw you by not coming on there. So, if you get somebody else, I'd appreciate it. I do appreciate it.
Have a buddy call in or something, guy. Have a buddy call in. Now, I have a draft as well. I'm going to be drafting from my phone while the game is going on, just to let you know.
Hey, can you guys answer a question for me? How was that?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm in a heavy quarterback league, meaning that probably the top 6 quarterbacks are going to be gone by round 2. Top 6, meaning Matt Ryan's going to be Eli is going to be gone. So now you're looking at Philip Rivers, Romo, all those questionable, quarterbacks. Would you take the chance of taking maybe an Eli or a Ryan in round 2? If you wouldn't do that, who would you take? Because you guys are talking going back-to-back with quarterbacks. Who are the 2 quarterbacks you'd take back-to-back in a later round?
Jerry, I'm gonna jump in this first, and I'll let you go after
go
that.
Go ahead.
Since it's a quarterback-heavy league, I take it the points are geared more toward the QBs and not the running backs, things of that nature, correct?
Yeah, and I got a bunch of people that, just love quarterbacks, and if you don't jump on the bandwagon, you're going to screw yourself. That's
some
tough words. It's 12.
How many teams are there?
12.
Personally, I don't like going QB back-to-back or in the first, second, third. I don't like taking a QB until the 5th round. However, if these QBs are available and you can get them at your spot, here's what I would do. Because after Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers, everybody drops off and they're about equal.
Right.
Eli's not a bad pick. Personally, I think if you're looking for a scoring QB, Eli could be there for you to get, and maybe even Roethlisberger or who else do we have in our top 10, Jerry? I can't remember. Eli. I'm drawing a blank right now. But I'll say this. I would get a team that loves to throw the ball. They just can't live without it. I mean, you have the Texans, but a lot of people aren't high on Shaw this year, even though he's in a contract year. Some people like Phillip. I like Phillip, but he only has Antonio Gates this year. Some people like Matt Ryan, but again, they're going to throw the ball a lot this year, but I'm not sold on him being a top tier quarterback right now as far as somebody I want to waste a number two, number three, whatever pick on. So I would go Eli and Roethlisberger, or Eli and I'm not even going to say Peyton. I'm not going to say Peyton because right now you just don't know what you're going to get from Peyton. He's thrown too many interceptions in the middle of the preseason. But I'll defer to Jerry for the rest.
Okay, this is what I would do, my man. If you're going to pick a second quarterback in your second round, look for these three guys. Hopefully, more than likely, they'll be here. Because they're going to know how to offense, and they're going to be in more up-tempo offense, I would go with Matt Ryan. He's going to be throwing the ball a lot. He's got two stud receivers on both sides. I guarantee you they're going to be throwing the ball a lot more than they have in the past. Also, don't get skittish on Eli. He threw for almost 5,000 yards last year. He's going to be throwing the ball just like he threw it last year. There's no doubt about it. And I see him. You can, if you want to pick up a second quarterback and you have to in the second round, I would do that. And this is a sleeper. I watched this guy either yesterday or day before yesterday. I forget what day it was.
Wilson.
This is a sleeper. The offensive coordinator must have gotten his arm twisted, or he must have gotten an epiphany, because Joe Flacco was going to be starting to throw the ball more than he has in the past, and that's a sleeper. I'm just telling you, that's a sleeper.
I got one more. I got one more for you since he's going to go Flacco. I'm going to go Jay Cutler because of what his weapons are out there. I love Jay Cutler this year. I think that he's one of those guys that with Alshon Jeffries, Brandon Marshall, Bennett, Forte, Bush, and all those others, I think it's going to be wide open for him this year. Might not be a second rounder, but that's why I feel.
You have to look at this. You have to look at this. Some of these some of these offenses are going to no huddle and hurry up offenses. That's giving the quarterback a more opportunity to throw the ball. That's why I'm saying Joe Flacco. That's why I'm saying Matt Ryan, because these guys are traditional running back, running first and throwing second, but they're going to hurry up offenses. They're going to be using no huddle more often. That means they're going to be throwing the ball more often. So that's beneficial for the quarterback to put up numbers. That's why I'm saying that.
Right. Yeah, I was looking at Cutler and maybe doing Cutler and somebody go back to back. Do Cutler and Freeman, or Cutler, even though see Tampa Bay is going to be more of a run offense with the coach and Martin there. So I'm a little afraid of Freeman, but you know, with I think Williams there across, that's going to help Williams so much to have D-Jack over there. But I'm a little. That's what I think about doing is Cutler and maybe. I'm not sure about Luck, but, man, Luck is just going to – I have a feeling Luck's going to throw about 3,800 yards this year.
I'm not going to put that much on Luck right now, because once he starts to see real defenses and that offensive line shows their true colors, you might not be happy with Luck's performance. I mean, he looked very, very good against the Rams' first game. Then he looked – just about what he's supposed to be in his second game. Just like with RG3. Today, you'll see what those guys are going to be like once you watch the game. I'm a Redskins fan. I love RG3. But I think he's going to struggle a little bit along with Luck. If you're going to pick two, you know, like Jerry said, Ryan and Eli are great. I like Cutler and Eli. I like Roethlisberger. Eli. Common denominator here? Eli.
So,
you've got that one down. It's just your second QB. And Freeman, and I've told Jerry this too, I know Shiano is going to be a run-heavy coach.
Very run.
But last night against the Patriots, Doug Martin did very well along with Dallas Clark and Vincent Jackson. So Freeman looked good throwing the ball and getting out of the pocket and moving and stuff like that. But it's all going to be based on the run. Doug Martin is the second coming of Ray Rice. Small, compact, can go inside, outside, goal line, stuff like that. But Freeman is one of those guys you can pick up really, 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 really late if you want to get him as a backup to your other two. I don't know if you guys start two quarterbacks or not, but that's somebody you can get really, 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 really late. But Eli and Ryan or Eli and Cutler are good. You got to be mindful of my weeks as well. You know, so. But that's
all right, guys.
Our take on it.
I appreciate it, and you got any more tickets coming my way, put me on the list, man.
Well, I might have some more, but do me a favor.
Okay.
Have one of your buddies or somebody call and give us the right answer, and if they can meet me at the stadium, I'll be more than happy to give them the two tickets.
Yeah, I'm in the North Bay, so I'm not too far away, man. Definitely not too far away, bro.
Like I said, if you have any buddies, give them a call and let them say, you know, if you want to go to the game, and you're not doing a fantasy draft, hey, I know where you can get some free tickets if you can answer a trivia question.
You got it, bro.
Even if they are going to do a draft, do like me. Go ahead and get the application. Put it on your phone.
Yeah, man, this is Christmas, man. This is like Christmas, man. You don't miss out on Christmas.
Dude, we do live drafts on this show every year. So, you know, it's good. It's good. But I appreciate the call.
And we thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. Stick around.
All right, guys, I'll keep on listening, dude.
All right, I appreciate the patronage.
All right, man. Good luck in all your games, huh, and your draft.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Matter of fact,
hey guys,
hold on. You know what? Well, we shouldn't do this, Jerry. We shouldn't
What's that?
Have him give his opinion on our two teams because we just gave him opinions
on.
Yeah. Nah. Okay. All right, well. Just listen, and if you're in the chat room, type a response or call back once you hear us talk about our team, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call, man.
Okay.
All right, JT Money. That was a good call. He had the right answer. And if you're out there listening and you want to go to this game, there's an opportunity. Somebody just gave you the answer. Call us up, 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And Black is in there in the chat right now. Black, the draft is over. So we need you to call in so we can go ahead and feed you the information. But until you call in, bruh, we're going to talk about the John Jones incident that we were just speaking about last night. He's in the chat room, Jerry. So if you're going to – I'll monitor it, but if you are able to monitor it, that'll be great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, basically the situation with John Jones again is that he did not want to fight Chael Sonnen, who was the replacement for Dan Henderson on 8 days' notice. Again, Chael Sonnen was the man who originally almost defeated Anderson Silva, who's the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. Now, he was within a minute of totally demolishing Anderson Silva and winning the title before being tapped out. Then he came back 2 months ago, I believe, and got knocked out by Anderson Silva in the second round. So, instead of staying in that weight class, he moved up to the light heavyweight, where the champion right now is John Jones. John Jones is the next best thing since sliced bread to MMA because he's a good guy that people can relate to. Well, after this situation, it seems as though a lot of people are hating John Jones. They're like,
really?
The champion is supposed to... Yes. Oh, yes. The MMA community, Dana White, the UFC, they're saying John Jones and Greg Jackson are going to go down in history as the people that killed UFC 151. This is the first time ever the UFC has had to cancel an event. Ever. Now, again, he is the champion, and he decided, and his manager, the trainer, decided not to let him take on Chael Sonnen on 8 days' notice. I don't blame him for that. However, the fight was also offered to Lyoto Machida, the former champion.
Mm-hmm.
And Lyoto Machida, who fought about a month ago, knocked out his opponent in the second round. declined to take on John Jones because he wants to get a full training camp in. But no one said anything about that. So Dana White decided, you know what, we're just going to cancel UFC 151. Now, to me, I said, and I was on Facebook with a guy talking about this, why did they cancel it? They could have took one of the other fights and bumped it up as the main event. Usually UFC has co-main events. Well, I learned that the people on the card are up-and-coming light heavyweight fighters. Nobody, anyone really would know. Therefore, it wouldn't be a big draw, even though they sold a bunch of tickets and paid for the venue and stuff like that. So, about 20 fighters lost out on a payday since they canceled the event. They have since, UFC has since rescheduled John Jones to fight Vitor Belfort September 22nd. Now, Vitor Belfort, I like Vitor Belfort. He's a very, very good fighter. He's from Brazil. He can get down on the ground and do some things. He also can stand up and slug. A lot of people don't give him a shot, but I like him. I think he has a shot. But the thing is that now we're in a situation where Dana White has put out a public statement saying that John Jones is a disgrace. And you have fighters saying they never in a million years would imagine that a champion would not fight anybody on short notice.
Yeah,
no matter how
I mean, that's not right.
They give him
8 days. 8 days to get prepared for an opponent. That's not right. No way.
Correct. Even though the opponent has the same amount of time, you know, the thing is,
John, but the champion's got everything to lose, and the opponent
has
nothing to lose.
Exactly. He just came up to that division. He's a fierce, fierce opponent. He walks around at 205, 215. So would he, like, he's cutting any weight or anything like that? You just took over the chat room? All right.
Yeah.
I see. That's why I got kicked out. All right. But the individual that was, you know, slated to take him, Sonnen, is crazy mad. I mean, he just comes at you like a bull, nonstop. And then if he gets you on the ground, he wrestles extremely well. Extremely well.
Right.
So it was, to me, I think it was a smart move. But Dana White and many, many fighters are saying that John Jones is a disgrace. He's a punk. He's this, that, and the third. And I say, no, he's not. I say he's smart because even though some people lost out on a payday, the UFC lost money because of they paid for the venue and pay-per-view and da-da-da-da-da, they don't care if he wins or loses.
Right.
All they care about is getting paid. John Jones.
Exactly.
John Jones has a reputation. He has the title to lose, and he has more at stake than they do. So then it becomes the issue of when do I protect my investment? That's what Greg Jackson's thinking. When do I protect my investment, and how do I protect my investment from somebody like Dana White who wants to just go ahead and make money?
Yeah. I mean, that's not right, man. I mean, you know, that you got to look out for numero uno when things like that happen, because I hate to say it like that, but that's just like a Don King move. Just worrying about Don King and the bottom line, and the heck with the fighter. That's just, you're just a piece of meat to put out there so I can make money off you. That ain't right.
Yeah. Well, and that's the way I look at it. A lot of folks aren't, though. They're saying when you're the champion, take on everybody. It doesn't matter who. You know, and it doesn't matter when. And my point in that is, you can say that to you know, the average man, but when you're the champion and you know this guy is a serious, serious contender,
right?
You don't just jump in there haphazardly and possibly you know, lose the title, get knocked out, get embarrassed. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, I think that it speaks to the business sense that John Jones and Greg Jackson had, as opposed to just the bravado that fighters are supposed to have. You want to have machismo? Great, have machismo. But at the same time, you better think again about what it is you stand to lose. And my question is, now that this has taken place, will the UFC pull back its sponsorship for John Jones? Will they pull it back? Because they only sponsor him. And now Anderson Silva. But, you know, since he did this, and since they feel this way about him, and Lorenzo Fertitta and Dana White has gone on record saying that they're a disgrace and, you know, this, that, and the third, you know, are they going to pull back their sponsorship from him? And on what grounds will they be able to pull back their sponsorship? If they do, can John Jones sue them? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guys that I was talking to did more of these, okay, well, you know what? John Jones hurt all these other fighters' chances of being seen and making a payday and paying their bills and da-da-da-da-da. So he sucks. And a lot of people want to see him get knocked out and lose.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly don't think that it should fall on his shoulders, because the UFC decided to cancel the event, not John Jones.
Yeah, they're making him the scapegoat, man. I mean, they're really, you know, dogging him out because of the fact is he doesn't want to take a fight on short notice. And like I said, they want to make money, and I understand they want to make money, but at the expense of a champion possibly losing his championship because he takes a fight on short notice just to please them, he's the champion. He should be afforded the courtesy of being able to prepare for whatever opponent he has, not a short notice appointment because something happened to the other opponent, the one he trained for. Put so much time in to train for. Now he's got somebody else, got different technique, different ways of doing things. 8 days, I understand 8 days, but I don't know what the length of time that they normally prepare for a match, but 8 days seems like it.
60 to
90
days.
Yeah, just like a fighter or something like that, just like a boxer. So there's no way that he should be forced or ostracized, in my opinion, because he doesn't want to take a fight in short notice.
Well, the thing is, in the UFC, it's commonplace to do that. A fighter has to pull out at the last minute, and someone else comes in and takes their place. It's commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in championship matches as well. But, you know, I'm of the thought process of, you know, I wouldn't do it if the opponent is that dangerous, which Sonnen is. And Sonnen just lost his last two matches to Anderson Silva. Yes, he had a good showing, but that means he would have three championship matches in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what weight class, but he would get three title shots. Whereas other folks, you know, they should get a shot at it as well. But, you know, it is what it is. I think John Jones actually has to go out and finish Vitor Belfort on September 22nd in order to get some respect back in the MMA community, as well as from Dana White and the UFC. That's the gist of it as far as I see. Might not be the case, but that's the way I see it. So, what do you think, and what's going on in the chat room? Because I need Black to call in so we can go over these teams.
Black has not called in. I told him to call in, and he hasn't called in. He hasn't responded either, so I don't know what's going on.
He must be in a location where he can't, which is understandable. But anyway, I think... We've talked about this topic enough. me. I wish some people would call in 347-637-3220 to get their point of view. You know, because in order to be the champion, you got to beat the champion. And the champion has the prerogative of not fighting an opponent if he doesn't feel comfortable. So I look at it that way. Anyway, let's keep it moving as we discuss fantasy football as well as preseason football. What or who has been a major disappointment and major surprise to you, ATM?
Let me see. Who's a major surprise? The guy took the last position player I took in my draft. He's been a major surprise to me. We all scoffed at it when Pete Carroll said it was an open competition in the Seahawks quarterback position. I watched Russell Wilson play last night against the ones. He played against the starting team on the opposite side, his starting defense. And I also watched him play the game before that, when he played against the second and third string team of the defense that he's going up against. He's got skills. He's got a rocket for an arm. He's accurate, and he's extremely mobile. He's got Michael Vick mobile type of things. Maybe not as quick, but very elusive and always looking down the field to throw the ball first before he runs. He's been a major surprise, and a surprise probably to Matt Flynn, who thought he pretty much would have this job wrapped up. I'm not so sure. The third game is the most important game in preseason, and who started that game and played the most part of that game? The rookie, Russell Wilson. We got close to between second and first-year players. It's a possibility of 10 quarterbacks in the league starting between those two. I think about 7, maybe 5 or 6 or whatever it is, first-year quarterbacks can start this year. So don't be surprised. I know you put it in the chat room that he's not going to start. Don't be surprised if Russell Wilson starts and plays well because he's got the skills to do it. Maybe not the experience, but he's got the skills to do it, and he's got huge upside, in my opinion.
Well,
disappointment?
Go ahead.
Let me see. Who would be a disappointment? I'm trying to think of who would be a major disappointment. Trying to go through the teams now that I see a major disappointment. I gave you a quarterback. Let me give you can I give you a running back that's a disappointment? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think who would be a disappointment. I can't think of it for now. If you can, we'll get back to that. Right now, I can't think of. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think who would be a disappointment. I'm trying to think who would be. Well, let me put it this way: one of the guys that it's a disappointment, and I had prefaced it before by saying he would be a high risk, high reward type of guy, and quite naturally, he's always injured. He got injured. Ryan Matthews is a big disappointment because he got injured again. He's been a huge disappointment for a lot of people because the fact is they thought this was going to be his year because there's nobody in front of him, nobody to share carries. Mike Tolbert's not there anymore. Ryan Matthews is, in my opinion, a big disappointment. I would have to say that the same thing would be right now with Michael Vick. Because he can't seem to stay healthy. He gets hurt 2 weeks in a row. And I have a strong feeling that may carry over to the season. And that may be a problem for people who have an idea of drafting Michael Vick. And along with that, I've named the running back. I've named the quarterback. I'll name a wide receiver that's been a disappointment, too, because he can't seem to stay healthy, and they expected him to have a breakout season. Dez Bryant. He's been a big, huge disappointment because of the fact that he can't seem to stay healthy. He's had issues off the field. He pretty much cleared those up for the most part, and now he's hurt over again. From those three or four I picked, surprise and disappointments, I can't think of any other ones right off the top of my head.
Okay. I'll say this. Russell Wilson was not a surprise to me. I knew he had the ability. Again, he's not going to start because of the money. It's the money, you know, and it's unfortunate that it comes down to that. But if Pete Carroll has any cojones, you know, he'll suck up his defeat and say, you know what, we paid Flynn a lot of money up front, but he just didn't win the job. You know, it's time to move on. So
he's clearly outplayed him. He's clearly outplayed him.
Oh yeah,
clearly.
So, but the thing is, when you give a guy $10 million up front or $19 million deal, you're gonna have to ride him out. You're gonna have to.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for that 1 year that you paid, get your $10 million worth, and then release him on the next year. You know.
I understand that. Well, Russell Wilson was my last position player pick, and I took a flyer on him. So.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's a good pick because he ultimately might, you know, win the job.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, if he doesn't, Matt Flynn's still out there on the waiver wire unless somebody picks him up. You know, Tavares Jackson's not going to be there.
Right.
Well,
there's still some more talent out on the waiver wire of quarterbacks. So if it doesn't work out with Russell Wilson, I'll pick up another viable backup that I like. But I like what I saw yesterday. If this guy starts, he's going to surprise a lot of people, and he's going to put up fantasy points. I think some serious fantasy points because he can run and throw. I don't know if you watched the game. You're on the West Coast. I don't know if you watched this game, but I did, and I was amazed. Amazed. I thought he would have a drop off when he played against the ones. He seemed like he even excelled even more when he was playing against the ones. So.
Well, I'll say this, that I did get to see some of the game because the NFL Network was flashing in and out of all of the games that were going on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very, very good surprise. He threw a perfect ball to T.O. T.O. had to stop and lean back and catch it, but it was one of two balls that T.O. caught after dropping several.
Mm-hmm.
He looked good. He had poise in the pocket. And I think the commentators Trent Green and whoever the other commentator made a good point at saying they want to see how he works when the pressure comes straight up the middle. Because he's 5'11", 6 feet, he's not going to be able to see over those blitzing linemen and stuff when he's going down the middle, so the tight ends might suffer a bit unless they're on an out route or something, and they're going to have to move the pocket for him. He's done a good job when he was at North Carolina. He made a smart move by leaving North Carolina State and going to Wisconsin. Because remember, this kid went and played professional baseball for the Colorado Rockies.
Right.
And the coach at North Carolina State said, look, you're going to play football, and that's it, or you're not going to be here. And they benched him for somebody else, and then he left and went to Wisconsin. And took them, I believe, to the Rose Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. If it wasn't the Rose Bowl, they went to a major bowl, and he did well. So Russell is not a bad player. I mean, I expected that from him. Now, I'll tell you that A big disappointment for me thus far has been Brandon Whedon.
Who?
Brandon Whedon. We talked about him last week.
Oh, really?
I love Brandon Whedon. Last night he went 9-for-20 or 9-for-21 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look like he was in command. But, again, he's thrown the ball about 60, 70 times already. And this is his third game of the season. So he's thrown a lot. With Trent Richardson not out there, and they got Hardesty and somebody else down there running the ball, it's not looking too good for him. Now, I think this is the first time in a long time that an NFL schedule has been set up, whereas a team that you play in the preseason is your first team you play the first game of the season. And
okay,
that's what happened last night with Philly and Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Philly beat them pretty well, and Cleveland didn't look too bad, but they didn't look too good either. I don't know if they were just trying to not show too much or whatever.
Right.
But this is the first time in quite some time, if ever, that took place. But Whedon didn't look good against the first team defense. Now, he threw a couple good balls against Asawa and a few other people. But then the fumbles and stumbles and bad line play caught up to him, and they just fell apart. So I don't think it was a good move for the NFL anyway to do that. Now, he's been a disappointment to me because I was afraid that he would end up being like this. So hopefully he can get himself turned around and be more proficient than, you know, what he has been. But he's been a disappointment thus far. A surprise. I'm going to tell you, a surprise for me, it wasn't Tannehill. Let me give you another disappointment. And I don't know if it's just because of, you know, play calling or whatever, but Cam Newton has been a disappointment to me. He's been a very big disappointment.
Really?
Yes. He and the Panthers. Coochie, I can't remember his name, is pretty good. And he's been very, you know, productive. But the Carolina offense, Cam, have been a very big disappointment to me. They have not done well at all this preseason. I'm not sure if it's because they've added new plays or they're not running the type of plays that would make Cam look successful or anything like that, but he just is not, he's not looked good to me. So that's been a disappointment preseason for me. Surprises, Doug Martin. I knew he was good, but I think he was going to be as good as he actually is. I think he scored in every game thus far in the preseason, from 1 yard and out. He's been productive catching the ball, and he looks like he's been in the NFL for a minute. So he's been a very good surprise for me. Blackman has also looked good with Blaine Gabbert. He's another surprise. Blaine didn't have a good game last time. But, you know, they're looking better. Blackman is as advertised. You know, good hands, big body, can move. Last night he made a couple good catches and tried to continue running with it. But, of course, he got tackled. Everybody else is just standing around. But he's looked good to me as well. But those are my surprises and disappointments. Did you think of anything else or anyone else?
No.
All right. Well, let's get on to the topic of 1 versus 2.
Black says, Blackman's, he's a bum. That's what he says.
Who's a bum? Who's a bum?
He Blackman? Said Blackman's a bum.
What? Dez is a bum smacking his mama. But I ain't gonna get into that. But anyway, let's get into this one versus two thing. With it being first preseason game and everybody seemingly is, you know, going to get a lot of reps, and to me it looks like it might be more of a regular season feel to it since it's RG3's first game at FedEx Field. Snyder's thrown up banners and all this other stuff for him. Tell me what you're looking for in this game.
Oh, I'm looking to see a better game from RG3 than his last game. His last game was a little shaky. Pocket presence and being able to envision down the field to see if he can display similar traits or talents that Andrew Luck's been displaying. So I'm waiting to see how RG3 is going to come back from his shaky game that he had last game. So,
well, Luck also had a shaky game too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, his shaky game is not as
bad as RG3's.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I submit this to you. Mm-hmm. RG3 has a running game, and they run the ball a lot more. Now, Donald Brown is a very good running back, or the Colts is going to do well. But Luck has doubled the amount of passes that RG3 has thrown in this preseason. Now, that might change today. It might open it up and let RG3 throw the ball a little bit since he's at home and the fans want to see some stuff. But Andrew looked exceptionally well versus the Rams. Then he looked just about average last weekend. Two picks, a sack, and some other stuff. Both of them didn't look well last week. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I look for RG3 to come out and be that exciting player that he, you know, is known at being. I look for him to go downfield more. I notice he hasn't thrown the ball a lot to Fred Davis or Chris Cooley. He's gone to Pierre Garçon a lot and Hankerson. Hankerson is actually fighting Santana Moss for the number two receiver spot, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hankerson has a problem holding on to the ball or catching the ball.
You think, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a big guy. He's a good guy, but his concentration isn't that great. You know, but he's young. And he can give RG3 a big target. But Davis and Cooley and other folks have had problems not getting the ball from RG3. He locks onto his person and he throws it to him. That's the one bad thing I'll say about him, that he looks at his target all the time and he throws it to him. He comes off of him sometimes, but more often than not, the first person he's looking at is the first person he's throwing the ball to. Luck,
mm-hmm.
on the other hand, Luck looks more, he looks more comfortable in the offense. I'll say that. It's more of a, okay, well, I can move around if I have to and create. RG3 looks like he's in a rigid style of offense, and the more he tries to create, the less effective the play becomes or is. That's what it looks like to me. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I'm looking for both of them to come out and have decent games. The Skins' secondary is not as good as it should be, so I look for Luck to try to take advantage of it, but there might be a few picks happening that way. I do believe that RG3 is going to expose the Colts for what they are, which is not a good secondary or a good defensive team. Dwight Freeney is going to be rushing and sometimes dropping back, and he admittedly stated when he's at Syracuse, they did it a couple games, and then he got back down in a 4-point stance or a 3-point stance. And then when he got to the Colts, they did it a little bit, and they immediately put him back in a 3-point and 4-point stance. So it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan and the Redskins attack that defense and allows RG3 to be exposed to, I guess, the NFL and see what he really can do for three quarters. I just see that happen.
Okay.
All right. Is Black saying anything, or is he just listening, chiming in?
I think he's just saying he's just listening because I last text I gave to him, I wanted him to grade our draft when we get to it, and he didn't respond back to me. So I don't know. He told me he was in a noisy spot right now, so that's probably why he can't call in. So
okay. Well, we got 30 minutes left of live air, and I really want to get into it. So let's just do it this way. Let's give him the parameters, and if he can text a message, great. If he can't, then so be it. But we're gonna drive on. We got 30 minutes to fill, and we're gonna talk about some things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, again, we opened the league with Duke. It's called Guys with Big Shoes. It's on ESPN. It's a 12 owner league, and within that 12 owner league, it's a standard scoring system.
Right.
So it's kind of good and it's kind of bad because some players that you're used to getting if you're doing a PPR aren't as good in a standard league because they're not scoring touchdowns. They're not doing the stat in the third. They're just racking up yards. Now, Jerry's standard team, in my opinion, is not that great. But when you look at the points that they get per week or per game, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. However, I think he picked a lot of potential players that might not be that good this year. I myself have a few players that are rookies but have great, great upside. And if they don't perform to the standard that I feel that they should, I have players already in position that I know will give me what I want. So we drafted an hour ago. Jerry had the 7th pick. I had the 11th pick. And there's a 12-team league. Two owners didn't show up. The one just before me, and I think the number 4 pick, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry,
I think it was the 5th pick that showed up before me, which is, I hate auto-picking. I hate
now,
to
Duke,
be...
Duke was before you. Duke was number 6, and he picked before you, so he was
Well, it
there.
Had to be number 5 then. I hate auto-picking because the fact is it screws up the draft, takes out the human factor. I really hate it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to auto-pick 2 leagues today because I'll be at the game. But we'll see what happens with it. I mean, I already set my players and my preferences, but not sure. But anyway, so Jerry,
right,
we're going to go in order.
Black said he would grade our drafts.
All right, that's fine. You just got to make sure you mention what it is that he says about it once we go into it. But anyway, let's go over. We're going to go in order. And since you had the 7th pick, you're going to tell the folks who you got at number 7 in this draft with the 7th pick overall.
At number 7 in this draft, I picked CJ2K, Mr. Chris Johnson.
All right. That was a good pick. I know Jerry was torn because I know he was high on Jamal Charles as well. And with that selection, it was tough for him to walk away from Charles. But he got a comparable player in CJ2K, who I think is going to have a very good year this year. Splitting time with Peyton Hillis for the goal line stuff, but I agree. Good pick. And with the 11th overall pick, I picked Matt Forte. Now, a lot of folks say, why do you Matt Forte? He's going to be vultured by Michael Bush. I'll get to that part later. But I got Forte because he's still an integral part of that offense. When they do run the ball from outside of the red zone, he's the man. He's going to get the touches, and he can score from long distances as well. So
I got Matt Forte. Then with the
14th.
With the 14th pick overall, mm-hmm. I turned around and I had a choice. I had a choice. I was like, if I don't get Jamal Charles, Jerry's gonna get him. And I was like, do I want Jamal Charles? But I got Run DMC there. So I chose Run DMC. I picked Run DMC because before he was injured last season, he was leading the NFL in all rushing categories, touchdowns, and stuff like that. And I think he's going to have a very good year. Hopefully, he can stay healthy. If not, my next pick was a very good one. But go ahead and tell folks who you got with your pick, Jerry.
At the second round, in the number 18th pick, since Jamal Charles, which I thought was going to fall to me,
got taken just before you.
he's picked two picks before me.
Okay.
Which I thought I was going to have two dynamic running backs, Jamal Charles and Chris Johnson. I was really looking forward to that, but I'm happy because I think this guy is going to be a good back, and I covered myself as we'll go down the rest of the draft. You'll see. I picked Steven Jackson.
All right. In the just to let you guys know, in the draft on the message board, Jerry was pitching a fit. He's like, I hate auto pick. Because he thought auto pick got Jamal Charles. He was crying. And then somebody had to tell him, no, this other guy got him, not auto pick. And he's like, oh, my bad. So you were
That's
crying
true.
Over that.
But I still hate auto pick because the fact is, you take out the human factor. A lot of times, auto pick will pick the next player up, and for the most part, they usually don't pick anybody. If it's the next pick, they usually don't pick anybody other than the next pick. They usually pick either the second or third pick. They usually don't go too farther down. The human factor is you never know what's going to happen. So that's what the bad thing when the computer picks.
Well, I understand that. So tell the folks who you got with your next pick when it came back around in the third round.
In the third round, my next pick, guy who I wouldn't say surprised a lot of people, but he was I figured I wanted to go for a decent wide receiver at that time. I was torn between going to a running back or a wide receiver I was targeting, and he got picked up in the 28th pick, which was Julio Jones. But I picked up a guy who I think is going to still have a very good year, and that's A.J. Green.
Very good. I was torn between A.J. Green and Julio, but both of them were taken before I wanted to get them. So with my next pick, I decided to go running back again. And I got Doug Martin. No.
In the third round, you took Jordy Nelson.
Oh, Jordy Nelson. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, mm-hmm. I got Jordy Nelson with my third pick, and then I turned around in the fourth and got Doug Martin. But Jordy Nelson, and you know, I got a couple laughs out of the peanut gallery in the draft room, and I'm like, okay. Laugh at me, Jordy Nelson being my first receiver taken, but that's all Aaron Rodgers throws to nowadays. So I'm not mad at having Jordy Nelson as my number one. Now, I could have got Stevie Johnson, who I was looking at, and I had him targeted, but I decided, you know what, let me just grab Jordy, and I'll come back to get Stevie, but I didn't get him. But, yes, in the fourth round, to cover my butt, just in case Run DMC had issues, I picked up Doug Martin. And I could have got him later, but everybody was grabbing quarterbacks and grabbing receivers, so I decided to go get another viable running back. We returned to fourth round.
In my fourth round pick, I wanted to go to another wide receiver. I had targeted Doug Martin in the fifth or sixth round. I think I thought that was where he was going. Vic surprised me taking Doug Martin early, so I went to a wide receiver, and I took Marcus Colston from the New Orleans Saints.
All right. Who'd you then turn around and get in the fifth round?
In the fifth round, the boy I touted last year, who basically broke out last year, and I like him this year because I think in the Todd Haley offense, he's going to shine again, especially with Mike Wallace being back, Antonio Brown.
Now, just to give you guys a little perspective of how the fifth round went, I'm counting how many receivers went. Now, I was at the bottom of the fifth round, but this is how many receivers went in the fourth and fifth. You had one, two, three, four receivers taken back-to-back in the fourth round. In the fifth round, oh, my gosh, every position is a wide receiver except for one, two, three, four, five, except for five full. So seven receivers were taken in the fifth round. Jerry was one of those seven. So I decided, with the two top tight ends gone already, to go tight end, and I had a choice. I can go Vernon Davis or Antonio Gates. Now, I like VD. I just don't like Alex Smith. So I chose Antonio Gates, who I believe is going to have a pretty decent year this year. Jerry and I, when Jerry did the tight end projections, he has him in his top three, top four, something like that. I had him outside of my top five. So I picked Antonio Gates with my fifth round pick. And the following pick was Vernon Davis by the guy behind me, which, you know, I don't feel too bad about because, again, I have Vernon Davis in a few other leagues. Then I turned right around in the sixth round and grabbed DeSean Jackson. So my two starting receivers are number one, DeSean Jackson and Jordy Nelson. And I got them pretty decently in the sixth round. And you notice I have not gotten a quarterback yet.
Same here.
All right. So go ahead. Tell the folks who you got in the sixth round, JT.
In my sixth round, I got one of the young receivers from the Denver Broncos. I was targeting in there because I wanted to get another receiver. And I saw him sitting there. And, of course, what happened? He got picked just before I was to draft. He got picked, and I was targeting Jeremy Maclin. He went, so I picked up Eric Decker from the Denver Broncos.
Well, I liked that pick because I was actually I had him queued up. I wasn't going to grab him that soon, but it was worth it. It was worth it. It was a good pick. Now, who did you turn around and get in the seventh round, Mr. Texan Thunder?
Absolutely. I knew sooner or later this guy is going to get picked.
I was
going to
grab him.
I knew sooner or later. This is the seventh round. I usually don't pick a quarterback, and Vic knows me, I think, pretty well. I don't pick a quarterback until after the fifth round for the most part. And this year especially, there's a lot of quarterbacks that you can pick to get some decent play out of a quarterback other than elite. So I picked my team, my boy, that I picked in a lot of leagues and a lot of years, and I still like him, Matt Schaub.
Now, I had Matt Schaub queued up, ready to hit the button. Jerk. So, four picks later, I get my quarterback, who I think is going to have an outstanding year this year, and he hasn't disappointed me so far. I got Jay Cutler. Now, I got Cutler in the seventh round as my first quarterback taken. There was a few out there. Phillip Rivers was still there. I had a choice between getting Phillip and Jay. And because of the weapons that Jay has, I picked Jay. Even though the tight end QB combination would have been good with Antonio Gates, I just couldn't see myself doing that. So I went and got Jay Cutler. And then, just because I already had my starting lineup together, except for my defense and my kick, I decided to get one more running back in the eighth round. So I got the handcuff to Matt Forte. I got Michael Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So my running backs are and this is the last running back I got. It's Matt Forte, Run DMC, Doug Martin, and Michael Bush, which I think is a pretty good thing because, and I want everybody to listen to this. This is very important. Two running backs on the same team have the same bye week. Two running backs on two different teams have the same bye week. So therefore, when the Bears go on bye, I already have my running backs set at both positions because they, and those other two running backs have the same bye week as well. So week five, when I'm out of Matt Forte and Michael Bush, my starting running backs are going to be Doug Martin and Run DMC. And then week six, when the Raiders and the Bucks have their bye, I have an all-Chicago backfield. And week six, the Raiders have not a difficult team to face. So I'm looking at Jay Cutler, Michael Bush, and Matt Forte. That's dangerous because if they don't have a good game, I'm pretty screwed that week. But at the same time, it's. I did that planning. I wanted to have two running backs or four running backs with the same bye week or bye weeks, so I don't have to do a lot of thinking as far as who am I going to mix and match in there to get the best option. So I got Michael Bush with my number eight pick. Who did you get?
Okay. In the eighth round, this guy's going to be starting in a prolific offense. As long as he can stay healthy, I think this is a – I got my two starting running backs. This is, in my opinion, a good pick. I picked up Kevin Smith from the Detroit Lions. I like that pick. I figured I could get him down that far, especially when Mr. Doug Martin wasn't available. And then I also picked up another pick, or another two picks after that. I believe in five running backs. I think Vic only has four, but,
yeah,
which is fine. But you'll see my thinking after the next few rounds of where I went, because from the eighth round, ninth round, and tenth round, I went running back, running back, running back, and you'll see why when I get there.
Well, you're at the ninth round right now.
And with the ninth round, the world champion New York Giants, as their starting running back, is a guy that is historically injured. Ahmad Bradshaw is historically injured, and the rookie David Wilson has been playing very well. And I picked up David Wilson as my fourth running back. I think this guy is a diamond waiting to happen because Ahmad Bradshaw never stays healthy for the whole year. And this guy's been playing well in the preseason.
Well, again, we talked about this. I don't think that Wilson's going to end up getting the starting job. However, being a first-round pick, that does speak volumes as to where the Giants see him. I think he's going to be in a big timeshare with Bradshaw. And I think Bradshaw's going to get the lion's share of the goal line runs. Wilson is a good kid. Don't get me wrong. Very good kid. I just don't see him stealing the job from Bradshaw just yet. Maybe later on in the season when he does get nicked up and he does need a game or two break, Wilson might step in, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
Well, he's my fourth running back I picked. And I think I got pretty good value for that fourth quarterback.
You got good value. You got good value. But in the ninth round, I selected the Texans defense. Now,
I've never done that.
Well, I got the Texans defense because I think they're pretty good. They're going to be pretty good. And there were a lot of different teams out there just grabbing defenses. I did not want to get stuck with New England. I didn't want to get stuck with a couple of teams. Now, granted, Seahawks have a very good defense. I'm just not too sure about them this year. Also, Kansas City has a good defense, but they got to win Manning twice, the Raiders, and San Diego, so I got away from there. But I chose Houston, Texas. Now tell me why you wouldn't have done that. Or you wouldn't have got them there, or you just wouldn't have got the Texans?
I wouldn't have gotten, regardless of what the run is on defense, I don't believe in taking a defense in the middle round or the ninth round. I always grab my defense because defense, you're grabbing a defense and projecting from what they are last year, not what they are this year.
Right.
I understand that for the most part these defenses are, stay solid, some of the top-tier defenses, but you can always grab a defense off the waiver wire for matchups. There's value in other players that you can grab on your team that would benefit you more than grabbing a defense early. So that's my philosophy. So,
now, I can agree with you on that. I can agree with you on that. The one difference in thinking that I have other than you on that is that a defense can give you 10, 15 points depending on who they're playing and stuff like that. In that division, AFC South, it's pretty likely that the Texans are going to have very good defensive points coming out there, at least playing 8 of their games, you know, in the South. And
okay.
This is the second year under Wade Phillips, and historically those teams have done better than they did the first year, and they were exceptional last year.
Well,
Black
in the chat room says, great pick, David Wilson, and for your pick for in the ninth round, that's crazy.
Well, that's okay. I mean, Black's entitled to his opinion. I mean, again, I got them because I targeted them and I wanted them. But I turned around and I did.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
What?
You said, keep on going. Go ahead. Tell me.
Wow.
Tell the people who you picked in the next round.
Okay, calm down. You're getting all hot.
Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
Anyway, I turned around and I said, you know what? Let me go for potential. Let me go for potential.
Yeah.
Because right now I know Kenny Britt might not be there, and Nate Washington is okay, but he's not going to be that big blazer. So I got Kendall Wright, who had an exceptional game this past yesterday for the,
right,
for the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got Kendall Wright as a backup to Vincent Jackson and Jordy Nelson. So, must you say why I'm such a son of a B?
For the simple fact is, I had him definitely targeted. I figured I could pick him up, in this round. But I think, in retrospect, and I think it's going to benefit me because when you picked up him in the 10th round, I turned around and picked up the handcuff that I'm most scared of in my running backs, and that's almost a clone of Chris Johnson, Jamal Charles, and I picked up the backup to Steven Jackson, Isaiah Pete, who I was high on when I did my show on running backs, and I'm still high on this guy, and he's been not disappointed in preseason, so I like my pickup of Isaiah Pete again in the 10th round to back up Steven Jackson just in case he goes down.
Well, I agree that's a good move because you got a handcuff.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 110% on that. Personally, again, you went 3 running backs back-to-back, and that was your choice. But it is what it is. Go ahead with your next pick in the 11th round.
In my 11th pick? Now, this may be a reach. I don't know if it's a reach. In my opinion, it's not a reach because I think this guy – because in the situation he is and the quarterback and the head coach who has a tendency to have tight ends exceed in the offensive system, I picked Cam Newton's tight end that he's going to be throwing to quite a bit, Greg Olsen, for some upside.
Now, that was a,
Yeah, that was a good move. I appreciate that move because it left a lot of things open. I wanted David Akers as this pick because I had a couple. My last three picks, I had three people set up, and I wanted to get my kicker now. And David Akers went just before my pick, the auto pick guy. So I was then forced, and I only say forced because I didn't want to get this guy because I would have too many people on bye week at the same time. But I got one of the better kickers in the NFL, Sebastian Janikowski. It was a good pick in the fact that he's going to get me points. He's going to do a lot of things for me. But I'm going to have to drop somebody in order to, get a kicker for week five. You know, so it kind of sucks. But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I turned around in the 12th round and got a guy who I think is going to have an outstanding year this year because I really think the Madden jinx is going to happen again. I really think the Madden is going to happen again. Someone got Titus Young, who has a lot of upside in Detroit. He's going to supplant Nate Burleson in Detroit as the number two guy. So Titus Young is who I picked up in the 12th round.
And it's just coincidence that Nate Burleson went before you picked up Titus Young.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And I turned around, and this was a super sleeper pick, in my opinion. We're down in the last three picks of the draft, round 12 being the pick where I picked up another quarterback, Russell Wilson. Super sleeper, in my opinion. Can turn out to be a gem or can turn out to be a dud. But I took a shot on what I've been seeing in preseason, and I like what I've seen, and I took a flyer on him. It's the 12th round. It's not somebody that's going to be starting for me every week, so I took a shot on him. So.
Okay.
And then
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And then on the 13th round, in my 13th pick, I turned around and got what you had mentioned before, the Kansas City Chiefs as my defense. They're playing in the AFC West. AFC West, from all intents and purposes, is not really that strong. Even though Peyton Manning's in there, Phillip Rivers in there, Carson Palmer's in there, Kansas City usually plays a pretty stout defense, especially with Romeo Crennel being the head coach and a defensive type of coach. They're going to be trying to keep the scores close because they're going to be running the ball a lot. So I took the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I like the pick because Kansas City has a very good defense, but right now I'm worried about Matt Castle and his ability to hold on to the ball, putting the Chiefs defense on the field a lot. And again, against Peyton, Carson, and Phillip, I don't like their chances this year. Even though individually, I would pick some of their players individually. So I then turned around because I needed a backup quarterback. I wanted RG3. He got taken. Then I wanted Andrew Luck. He got taken. So I decided I should go ahead and get Jake Locker. So not only did I get the new number one target in Tennessee, I also got the number one quarterback, who also can scramble and run and throw the ball. So he's a dual threat at quarterback, and he's my backup. So I think he's going to be a very, very good backup for me. Then in the 14th round, and I believe this is my last pick, if I'm not mistaken, yes. I got insurance for Antonio Gates, a guy that I think is going to have a very good year with Andrew Luck. That's Kobe Fleener. So I finished out my draft with Kobe Fleener. He's just insurance if something happens to Antonio Gates. But that's what I got.
Your last pick. And I, in my 14th round, which I standard the same, I go by the same thing that most people go by. You pick your defense and your kicker, the last two picks. I picked my defense, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, in the 13th round, and the last round of this draft, which is the 14th round. I picked my kicker that matches my quarterback. So I want to get points. Whatever my quarterback does, my kicker is going to benefit from it. Randy Bullock from the Houston Texans.
All right.
So
that actually a very good pick.
I know that. Now, listen to what you just said.
Oh,
a lot of my picks, you said very good pick. Black is in the chat room. Black, listen to this. Okay, I'm going to name Vic. I want you to name your team first, and then I'll name my team.
Okay. Now listen, I didn't say. I said your team sucks. I didn't say it was a bad pick. The where you got the people were good, but I just don't think they're going to be as productive as you hope. All right, here's my team top to bottom. And we only have like 4 minutes left of live air, so let's get this in.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Darren McFadden, Jordy Nelson, DeSean Jackson, Antonio Gates, Texans defense, Sebastian Janikowski, Doug Martin, Michael Bush, Kendall Wright, Titus Young, Jake Locker, and Colby Sweeney.
My team is this. Okay, Black, I hope you listen to this. Excuse me. Matt Schaub, Chris Johnson, Steven Jackson, A.J. Green, Marcus Colston, Greg Olson, Antonio Brown, Eric Decker, Kevin Smith, David Wilson, Isaiah Pede, Russell Wilson, the quarterback. My defense is the Chiefs, and my kicker is Randy Bullock. Black, if you hear us, give us your grade on who you think did the best in this draft. And keep talking. We'll wait to see if Black responds to us.
Well, we got 2.5 minutes left alive there, so let's do this real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Fantasy Sports Politics every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We tried to give away tickets to the Raiders-Detroit Lions game today. We had a caller. We had a winner, but he has a draft, so he can't go to the game. We're going to do stuff like that periodically during the year. Hopefully, I'll get more tickets to different places. We'll see. Tomorrow, Master Plan, JT ATM Taylor, they're going to talk about other drafts, because I know he has a couple more drafts today and like three or four tomorrow.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about drafts. Then on Tuesday, we have Compassion Bikini with Kim Fun. She's going to do her thing at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, or it's 1:30 and 4:30. I'm not sure. I'll look again. Then on Thursdays, we have FSP Crew Show. Jerry, Jeff, and Black break down whatever it is they're going to break down, and they might have a great guest from time to time. I know that college football season is starting next week, so I know Black might be talking college football. Again, on Friday, we have No Chase with Matt Williams and Jerry Taylor. This past, they talked about football. Next week, you never know. It might be politics again. We'll see. Do we have anything from Black real quick, Jerry?
We have nothing. Oh, hold on.
Well, we got 60 seconds.
Well, Vic, you get a B+. Master, I get a B-. Steal of the draft, David Wilson. Bust of the draft, Colby Fleener.
Well, he was the last pick. And that's, he's insurance. I don't think Fleener's going to be a bust. But hey, I got a better grade than you. That's all I care about. Thank you, Black. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a few seconds left alive there. Anything you want to say before we get off the show, JT, as I get ready to go to this football game?
Until tomorrow, and you enjoy the game, send me a picture of your seat where you at on the field.
I will. I'll be in the end zone corner taking pictures of my iPhone and sending them to Facebook.
Okay, no problem. Enjoy the game. Any football game, whether it's preseason or not, is always a great time.
I agree. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports Fathers. I'm Mr. FSP. He is JT18 here. And we got Black the Bookie in the chat room doing what he does. Jerry, get us out of here.
As always, from Vic and myself, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
In the right place, so take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to